My understanding of what we're going to do today is going to try and learn some. The topic I was given was Hillel's Bishul, which is very relevant on Shabbos. And also to leave some time for questions. The next 3 weeks we'll see what we'll do. I'm going to ask one of the girls can volunteer to take down the questions. So I can refer back to the questions, make sure I address them the following week. I can guarantee you that if you ask it to rely on remembering to answer remember the questions, Hedrach will tell you that I don't remember the things very well. But Tommy Lashon Hara, she won't tell you that, but it's the truth. Anyway, okay, so what I'm going to do is like this. This is a class which I gave for the ladies a few years ago, where Pesach Seder came out Friday night, and so there's cooking. It's not Yom Tov Shabbos, you can't cook. And we made a Seder menu, so this is your menu, right? And then the question, what are the halachic issues which would come up with that? So I'm going to use that as a vehicle to... and to talk, and then we'll see from there. Okay, so the Seder menu, so you're looking on the page which has the menu. So on the right side, the Seder menu was chicken soup, which is a liquid, a brisket with significant sauce, a chicken with significant sauce, which is a wet salad. Now, the reason why I gave that example, just this one, this is really not a Hilchos Shabbos issue, is in general the minhag is not to serve by the Seder something which is roasted or even pot roast. Right? Because we don't need sli, because the Korban Pesach was roasted. So in order that shouldn't be looking somewhere like we're trying to eat something which approximates the Korban Pesach, we don't eat roast or even pot roast by the Seder. So if you'd be making a brisket, it'd have to be one which has a lot of sauce. I actually had this problem 2 years ago. I think somebody called me up that they ordered the Seder dinner from the local caterer, and it came with a roast. That was the main dish was a roast. So like, they called me up Erev Pesach, of course, when they went to pick up their what do I do? So I switched it around. What they had gotten, they had also ordered Baruch Hashem the Yom Tov Day meal, and we just flipped their main courses. Carrot timis, which is a wet, dry salad, can come either way. Ratatouille, which is a wet salad. By the way, that's how you spell ratatouille, right? Okay? If you were not trying to spell it, that's how you spell it. I guess nowadays you don't have to know. You just put a spell check in and you figure it out. With tetragogo, which is a dry salad, and ice cream, which has no cooking issues. So the instructions over here are all fields will be served at least twice. It means you have two storms. You have to be able to keep them dry or not burnt enough that you'll be able to use them for the second night. All food will be served as hot as locally possible, and all food will not be served burnt, hopefully. Okay, so the heating options. So how are you going to make these foods hot? So what's the challenge? Challenge of the Seder is, so regular Friday night, no problem. You leave it in before Shabbos, you know, that's it. Problem by the Seder is, especially by, depends where you, who you're, your type of Seder you have, but if you have a Seder like we have, the beginning of the Yom Tov until you actually eat, is a time lapse, a good time lapse, 2 hours, 3 hours, whatever it is. Usually we start the meal around 12, and the Yom Tov starts around 8. So it's a good 4 hours. So you just leave it in the oven and pull it out 4 hours later, and it's burnt. So that's not going to be that's the challenge which the ladies wanted me to address. So what are the options which you can hit? So where are you going to be heating something? So one option is you're going to be heating something inside of the oven. The second thing is you're going to be putting on the range top. The range top I'm referring to where the burners are. And then the slash with a blech, which means you could actually put a blech on top of the burners, and maybe that's the way you would address it. A hot plate, which is known as a plata, which is an electric electric warmer, or a crock pot, top of the percolator. So I want to warm something up, so I'll put it. I have an urn, percolator, samovar, whatever word you use in whatever language you speak to refer to that thing which keeps the water hot. So on top of it, it's hot. You want to put it on top of the percolator. Insulating before Shabbos, you're just going to wrap it up in a down blanket and hope for the best that it's going to stay hot till you get to the Seder, right? Top of the radiator, just kidding. Okay. That's not an option, you know, theoretically. So none of you have radiators, so it doesn't exist. Like, you know, right? What is a radiator? Okay, that's even better, right? Right. Most houses over here have what's called forced air heating, right? Which means there's a blower which is forcing heat into the room. That's called forced air heating, not forced air heating. Which one person says, "Oh, what's forced air heating?" I said, "No, forced air." Okay, but there are places you'll go to New York, and you'll see there's this thing standing on the corner which has a liquid running through it.
Which, I have one.
What?
I have radiator in my room.
You're renting a room. You're just
all over the house.
All over the house. You have an older house.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. Right. They get very hot.
Yeah.
They're a great place to warm something, warm a food on.
Yeah.
What?
I also have some
corn. Okay. Look at that. Okay. So it's a great place to warm a food on, right? If you want to warm something on Shabbos, so you have advantage over everybody else. You have where to heat the food. Okay. The advantage of it is because it's not a place where people cook. So I mean I don't know, maybe they do. I don't know. Shibaka, you never would know. Like, Shibaka. There's have any of the girls seen this book called Dira Days, Daze?
I've heard of it.
You heard of it? Yeah. It's a book. It was written before a conglomerate of different questions with the Bakram asked this Rebbe in Eretz Yisrael about, the guy who heated up his salami with his iron. And then his roommates heated up the pizza with the iron. Okay. Or the guy who put wrapped up the salami in the foil and put it into the dryer, and then somebody else did that. And these are a lot of shouts that come up with. It's like, so there's a book. There's a book in this, right? So in that world, you can definitely be doing radiators for heating up things for Shabbos, right? But okay, but let's assume that you're not doing that. Okay, so. So what's the issue? What are the issues that we need to address? We have this menu, we have this food. What are the issues which we need to address? So what would be the issues that you're trying to figure out? So there really are two or three issues that you need to deal with. It's Friday night. So I mean, this example is with the Seder, but any Friday night, any Shabbos, I want to warm food. I want to cook food. So there's two different worlds: the world of warming and the world of cooking. Warming, I mean, in other words, the food is already cooked, and I want to heat it. I want to give it heat. And then there's the world of, I want to actually cook something. Or there's a concern, maybe I'm cooking something. So that's not going to be today's shiur. The example, I want to make tea, I want to make coffee. So I want to use hot water to brew the coffee. I want to use the hot water to make, with the tea bag, I want to make. So that, there I'm dealing with cooking. So now, this everything over here has been cooked beforehand. It's fully cooked. That's not the issue. So what's the issue? The issue is heating. So what's the problem? It's not the malacha bishul. The malacha is bishul, which is cooking. I'm not cooking anything. So what am I doing wrong? Well, the Chum came along and said that there's a concern that if we're going to allow people to just warm things, eventually there's going to be problems with people cooking things. So then we said, just warming things is not going to be so simply permitted either, even though it's fully cooked. And this is the halachas of what's known as of shehiya and chazara. Familiar terms, right? I'm assuming that you know all of this already by, we're starting from basics and building up. But if you tell me that this is very boring, that's fine. You tell me, tough luck. If you tell me that you don't understand, then please feel comfortable raising your hand and tell me you don't understand what I'm talking about.
So what did you say?
Shehiya and chazara. Okay. Shehiya and chazara. Okay. Shehiya means to wait. Right, lashon being mash or something, leaving something waiting, which is the idea of leaving food from before Shabbos going into Shabbos to be, keep warm. Your crock pot with your cholent, your percolator, you're leaving food in the oven for your Friday night meal. That's all called shehiyah. You're leaving food from before Shabbos going into Shabbos. Right? Okay, so you decide you want to have a Friday night dip into the cholent. Right? Some people do that, right? So you take the cholent off of the fire, and you take, now you want to put it back. That's called chazara, to be machzir, to return something. So there's Chachamim made rules. What's the problem? It's fully cooked. I'm not doing anything. Why can't I put it back? So there's Chachamim said chazara has rules. Yeah.
I was saying because there's most likely liquid in it, and you're not supposed to cook liquid.
Okay.
And that's also, you're not supposed to, if you take it off and put it back on while it's Shabbos, you're like, automatically cooking it again and not supposed to cook it.
Okay, so you're saying good points, and we're going to look at this the second sheet, which is the five conditions for chazara. So to return something on Shabbos, if you've taken a food off, you want to put it back. So there are five conditions that you need to permit it. So if you look at the list, there's the five conditions. What is the concern that we're worried about? What is the status? Is this a deraisa issue or a derabanan issue? And b'dyavad, what happened if you did do it? What is it, can you make do without it, shall we say? Okay. So there are five conditions. The five conditions that you want. First of all, the food has to be fully cooked. The food is not fully cooked. You took the food off of the fire. It's not fully cooked. You put it back on. You're cooking on Shabbos. The food is not cooked totally. You're putting it back without. If you're going to leave it where it is, it's not going to cook. You put it onto the fire. It's going to cook. So that you're doing an act of cooking on Shabbos. You know, you don't need rocket science to figure out that that's a problem, right? Yeah. So that's the easy one. It has to be fully cooked. The concern is cooking on Shabbos. That's a deraisa. That's always going to be required. So it has to be fully cooked. Now, we have to define what's called fully cooked.
Yeah.
Yes, okay. Right, so that is a good question. I want to run through all the conditions, and then I will forget to go back. That you'll remind me. Okay? That's the deal. So the first condition has, if you want to do chazar, you're taking your cholent off of the fire, and you have some meat in there, which you put in right before Shabbos, or very close to Shabbos, and it didn't really cook so well. So you made a cholent early, you're running late. Usually you make your cholent earlier on, you're running late, and it's edible, but it's not fully, you know, definitely could get some more cooking into it, right? So it's not fully cooked. So you take it off, you have enjoy your cholent now, because you're not putting it back. Right?
As if you take it off on Shabbos.
Well, that would be true whether you took it off on Shabbos or before Shabbos. You can't put it back on Shabbos. Right? You can't put it back on Shabbos because you're cooking on Shabbos. Okay. The second condition is it has to be warm still, which I took it off, you know, I took it off, took my shawl out, what I want, and I put it back. It's still hot, right? No problem. I took it off and I let it, and you know, I got involved in the conversation, I got distracted, and you know, come back to, you know, a little while later and said, "Oh, it's not hot anymore, so I can't put it back. It has to be warm still."
Why? Because it's cooking?
Now, the question is, what is the concern? Why does it have to still be warm? What is the issue? So what is the concern? So there are two concerns. As you'll see in the box which lists the concerns, there are two concerns. Let's start with the second one, which is the salt. It's fully cooked. You're not reheating, you're not cooking the water again. That's not an issue of cooking. What's the issue? The issue is, do we look at this as a continuation of the original act of leaving it there, or it's a new act of putting on Shabbos?
You're allowed to, you could have.
Now, let's explain that. And if it is,
right.
So what's the problem? The problem is it looks like cooking. That's the problem. It's not cooking, because it's fully cooked. But if in our minds we perceive this as just an extension of the original act of leaving it there, we understand that this is not cooking, this is just putting it back. But if however, it's cooled off, and it's like I put it in the fridge, I come out 4 hours and I put it on the I'm initiating an act of putting something on the fire on Shabbos. That's very easy to confuse with cooking.
So is it marasayin?
So the problem is not marasayin. The problem is that you would confuse it, and a person will make a mistake and learn from that, that you will come to take something which is, yes, a problem of cooking, and put it on the fire and cook on Shabbos.
So this is not the bluff, right?
I didn't get to the bluff yet. Even with the bluff, this is going to be a problem.
Oh.
Yes?
Why can you use a hot plate if you can't put it back on the fire?
You know, we didn't get to the hot plate yet. The plot is our fascinating discussion. It's a fair question. When we get to the different heating options, we'll talk about plot, the unique status of a plot and why it's debatable. Not everybody agrees that it has a unique status. Okay, so we have it's not an act of cooking, but it's something which can be very easily confused with cooking. So, for example, change my scenario. I hope I'm not confusing you. Shabbos morning, I want to go to the fridge, take something out of the fridge. It wasn't on the fire at all. And heat it up on Shabbos. Right?
No, I can't.
I can't do that. That's this. I have not met this condition. It's not cold anymore. Right? It wasn't there at the beginning of Shabbos even. The whole heter is contingent on the fact that I left it there from before on Shabbos, and I'm just returning it back to that state. Do I have other options? If I can do it in a way that doesn't look like cooking. It's not cooking, because it's fully cooked. and I put on my radiator, right? Well, do you normally cook on your radiator if you're not a yeshiva bucker? No, you don't. Doesn't look. Will you confuse that with cooking? Probably not, right? So you listen. Don't put it on the burner, but put it on the radiator. So why that? Oh, because you're not allowed to cook on Shabbos. So that's going to be a reminder not to confuse that with cooking. So there are ways to warm it, which would not look like cooking. But if something which looks like cooking, you're putting it in the normal place you normally cook, it's not going to be permitted to do. So that's for concern number one. Hold the question for a second. The second question is, if it's a liquid and it cooled off, we have a problem of reheating a liquid in Shabbos. Reheating a liquid in Shabbos, there's a concern, what is known as yesh bishul, acher bishul. By liquids, when they cool off, reheating them is called bishul again. It's called cooking again. By solids, it's fully cooked. You're not really adding anything. You're just adding some warmth. But a liquid, part of the advantage of the liquid is the heat. When you lose the heat and you reheat it, you have a concern that you're cooking on Shabbos. So the status, liquids are possibly as a deraisa. This is possibly a Torah problem. But the case of the solids, it's fully cooked. It's drabonim. Okay. And do you need it? You always need it. Yes.
By a person putting food on a radiator, because they say it's not like cooking, but if it is doing the action, is that considered?
If it's actually cooking, it's not mutter. Right. If there's something which is not cooked, and you want to cook on my radiator.
You don't know if it is or not. If the radiator is hot, then it automatically is, isn't it?
No, what I'm saying is the food is fully cooked. The item is fully cooked. There's no real cooking concern. On a Torah level, it's not called cooking. It's cooked, you're right. You can't cook it more.
There's no problem with heating it up.
The problem was heating. Right? So if I'm going to heat it on a place which people will not confuse with cooking, so what am I doing wrong? I'm not doing anything wrong. It's not cooking. It doesn't look like cooking. People will not confuse it with cooking. So whatever the problems are not there, so no problem. So go heat it on your radiator, which I guess I should have put that option of the radiator here on the list. Okay, number three is a covered flame. And again, this is for the same issue. That's the blech issue, the idea that the fire should be covered. The purpose, because like that acts as, again, a way to act as a reminder, this is not the normal way to cook. I want to point out to you, it's an important idea that it's not correct to do. If you put it, how many of you are familiar with a blech? Actually, use a blech sometimes. Everybody's heard of a blech, right?
Yeah,
okay. So one of the common issues I have with people putting a blech, what's a blech? A blech is a covering of metal you put over the fire on where the burners are. You have gas burners or you have electric burners? Gas, right? So you see the flame, you put a piece of metal, nice big piece of metal over the top of it, and then you'd be putting your pot on top of the metal.
Isn't that a plata?
A plata usually means it's an electric, has its own heat source. It's just a piece of metal. Right? So I have my burner over there, right? And I just put a piece of metal on top of it, and I put my pot on top of that. You should not be changing the intensity of the fire after you put the blech on. You should set the fire for whatever intensity you want it to be, and then put the blech on and leave it. Okay? You should not be changing the intensity of the fire, making the fire lower or higher, after you put the blech on, because the purpose of the blech is to act as a reminder not to play with the fire. That's part of the purpose. So there's another concern. I put my pot here. Wow, the fire is too high. I'm going to turn the fire down. Are you allowed to turn fires down on Shabbos?
No.
Are you allowed to turn fires up on Shabbos?
No.
Right? So the blech is to be the reminder, don't play with the fire. Right? But mothers always teach you, don't play with fire. Right? So the Chazal said, made a blech, don't play with fire. Don't touch the fire. Don't do anything with the fire. So after you put the blech and you start playing with the fire, what are you doing? Defeating the purpose of the blech. You're saying, well, the blech is there to be a reminder. This reminder doesn't work for me. Great. You've undermined the whole idea behind the blech. You don't want to do that. So whatever temperature you want to put your fire, you put the temperature there, and then you put the blech on top. This way, the blech can act as a reminder. Don't adjust the flame anyway. Somebody had a question. Yeah?
What halacha would temper with a fire fall under?
There, halacha is, there is a malacha on Shabbos. There are lamates malachas on Shabbos. Right? Everyone knows that there are lamates malachas. By now you should know there are lamates malachas on Shabbos. If you don't, we send you back to 7th grade.
Sure.
Okay, right? Everybody knows there's lamates malachas. What are the lamates malachas? That's more challenging, right? Does everybody know all of the lamates malachas?
I know some of them.
One point in your life, yeah, right? Okay. Yeah, okay. So, What? Two of the Lamatas Malachas are, is one of them is making a fire.
Yeah.
And one of them is Mechaba putting out a fire. It's not only making a fire, increasing a fire is also called Mavir. It's also called making a fire. And Mechaba decreasing the intensity of a fire is also called Mechaba, extinguishing. So there's a Malacha of making a fire, kindling a fire, and extinguishing a fire. Both of them are true not only if it's from zero to a fire, and from fire to zero, but even from a fire to less fire, or more fire, is also called a Malacha Mechaba and Mavir. Okay, so what's the problem? Why do you need a covered flame? So there are two reasons why you need a covered flame, because number two, we said you might come to change the flame. So you want you to have the covering as a reminder, don't adjust the fire. Number one is it looks like cooking. If it's not covered, it looks like you're cooking. You're putting it on a fire. If it's covered, most people don't cook on a covered fire. You don't want to do that. So both of these requirements are derbanan, but they're always required. Okay. So if I want to warm something up on Yom Tov, I theoretically have to meet these conditions.
Yom Tov or Shabbos?
I'm sorry, on Shabbos. Strike that. Say it again. If I want to heat something up on Shabbos or on Yom Tov, which falls out on Shabbos, I need to meet these three conditions, that the food has to be fully cooked, it has to be warm still, and the fire has to be covered. These are not negotiable. These are not negotiable. All these three things are required. What you could do is, like we mentioned, we can go back to our option, we can put it on the radiator, right? Well, most people don't have a radiator. What about on top of the percolator?
There's not really
it's not like
room.
Big, it's like...
Yeah, it's like brown.
Right, so...
like, how can you fit all your food on?
Yeah.
Okay, so I'll give you maybe a better option. You have a crock pot with your cholent. Take off the cover of the crock pot, put a plate on top. What is it? What is it? It's flat.
Yeah.
Can I put something on top?
Yeah.
That's the same thing as a radiator, as far as we're concerned. Most people don't cook on top of the pot on the crock pot.
So you have to put like the coal on the crock pot.
That's exactly this idea. That's why you're doing this. Why you're putting it there, because I'm allowed to heat it up because this is like a radiator.
Right.
As far as we're concerned, this is not a place where people cook. As far as we're concerned, the fire, the pot acts as the covering for the fire. The fire is there in the crock pot. The fire is covered by the pot with the food in it. And now I'm putting something on top of it. So the fire is covered. The food is not warm. And the food is fully cooked. Okay? The food is fully cooked because if it's cooked, if it's not fully cooked and you're going to cook it, you can't cook on Shabbos. Okay, so we'll take care of that. But what about the fact that the food is cold. I take my challah out of the freezer and I put it on top of the crock pot. So, is there bishul on a salad, on a cold salad on Shabbos? If it's fully cooked, the answer is no. Cold salad, fully cooked, no problem. What about a liquid, a cold liquid? That's a different ball game. I couldn't put some soup over there to warm up because I'm warming the soup. That would be a problem because I am warming the soup on Shabbos. But if you're talking about the example which we had over here, the kugel, I want to take the kugel out of the fridge and put it on top of my crock pot. No problem. It's fully cooked. Even though it's cold, doesn't bother me because I'm not putting it in a place where you normally would cook. And the fire is covered. It's not a place you normally cook. It's fully cooked, and we're good. Yes.
A lot of people use crock pots like daily. So how is that allowed to be used if it's like a daily thing?
What I'm saying is not the crock pot. I'm talking about on top of the crock pot. Very few people put things on top of the crock pot. Cook on top of the crock pot. Most people cook in the crock pot, right? I mean, okay, we'll take a poll. Girls, how many of you have cooked on top of the crock pot before?
Well, I don't cook
during the week.
How many of you have a crock pot? Okay. How many of you cooked in the crock pot? Right? How many of you cooked on top of the crock pot?
I put stuff on top of it to defrost.
Okay, you don't cook on top of the crock pot, right? Have you ever cooked on top of the crock pot? No. Okay. Right, you had raw food. You put it there to cook? No. Okay. So you don't cook on top of a crock pot. So that's why it's different. Yes?
Can you put food like directly on the block?
Can you put food directly on the block? So if you have a covered flame, which is the blech, and it's fully cooked and it's still warm, it sounds like so far it should be okay, right? Now the question is, we have two more conditions. Okay? So we have two more conditions. No, even if it's a salad, even if it's a salad, we still have two more conditions which we didn't discuss yet. So these three conditions are always required. You always require that it has to be, that item has to be fully cooked, and it has to be covered, a covered flame, and for liquids it has to be warm, and for solids, as they put questionable for dry solids, maybe you can create a scenario where it's mutter, but putting it on the blech, you need that it should be still warm. Why is the difference in the case of on the blech and on top of the crock pot? Because the blech, at the end of the day, even though people don't normally cook with a piece of metal in between, but you're putting it on the fire. In the crock pot, you're putting it on top of the pot. On top of the fire. Okay, the other two requirements are intention to return from the fire when removed from the fire and still holding the item. So, so you want to take the cholent off Friday night and put it back. So what do? You need how many people? Right? You need two people. It's much easier with two people, right? One person to hold the pot. You never let go of the pot. You're still holding the pot, right?
Oh, yeah.
And another person, right? Your mother never asked you to please come help you to hold the pot, right? Mm-hmm, your mother never asked you to come, please? Whatever. Right? Kind of rough, will go help my wife to hold the pot, right?
What do you mean, hold the pot?
What do you mean, hold the pot? So imagine this was a pot. You take the pot off of the fire, this is the fire, you take the pot off of the fire, and you put it down over here, and you hold the pot.
Yeah, we can't let go.
Now, there is an opinion which says actually you have to hold the pot in the air. So you need three, you need two people. You need one person to hold it in the air, and the other person to take off the food. It's very hard to hold the pot in the air, right, and take out the food at the same time. That's why you need two people.
Do you have to take it off the fire?
You have to take it off of the fire.
Yeah, can you just open it?
Okay. That is not a simple question to answer. It's definitely appropriate to take it off of the fire. That's the best way of putting it. The Mishabura, the Ramah, the Mishabura brings an opinion which says that you should not spoon out food from a pot which is on the fire.
Why?
Why?
On Shabbat or normally?
On Shabbos. Okay. I mean, no, you can do it on Tuesdays.
Yeah.
Tuesdays are fine. Why? There's a Gemara which says that stirring is a form of cooking. Right? You're all familiar with that. You know, you put food. I don't know. You can do an experiment at home. If you do it, tell your mother, blame me. Okay. You put something up to cook and you don't stir it at all. Something which needs stirring. What will happen? It won't cook. You stir it, it will cook. Certain foods don't need stirring. Water actually cooks without stirring. Right? Have you ever tried that? Cooking water? That works without stirring. So look, you're allowed to stir water because you're not doing anything with stirring. But many foods, the fact that you move it around, the movement allows for the cooking process. So stirring a food which is partially cooked on the fire is considered a malacha deraisa. Person would be considered doing bishul. Person would take a pot on the fire, which is the food is not fully cooked, stir it, that'll help it cook more quickly. Person did bishul on Shabbos. What about a hot pot, which is not on the fire, but it's partially cooked? Also, don't stir. What about something which is fully cooked on the fire? Don't stir either. Drabonah. What about something which is fully cooked and I'm not stirring, but I'm spooning out? When you spoon it out, you're stirring. That's what happens. Is that a problem? Better not to.
So then you have to wait till the food gets.
You have better. Like, take it off the fire.
No, I'm saying if you
want to stir it on the fire.
Oh, I know, but if you take it off and it's still hot, it doesn't.
Take it off, that's not a problem. If it's fully cooked, take it off, spoon it out, no problem.
And then even put it back, it's fine.
You can put it back also. Right? If it's fully cooked, you take it off, and you shouldn't stir it. You shouldn't stir it. Even that's debatable. Whether you have, but it's preferable not to stir it. But spooning out is not a problem. Spooning out on the fire, Mr. Burr says not. Says you, it's better not to. The Chazir says actually you should. You could.
Oh, really?
The Chazir says you could. He's making on it. He says, you know.
Because I don't know really what the difference is if we're putting it back on anyways.
Like, if you take off the thing and you take a spoon out and put it back, or if it's still on the crock pot and you spoon out.
There is a difference in the stirring process is more beneficial when there's fire there than when the fire is not there.
You're going to put the pot back anyways.
That's true, but right now there's no fire. They're helping you do cooking by stirring. So spooning off while it's on the fire is preferred. Mishabur holds it's preferable not to. So we're going to be taking our pot off to take out the cholmas. I'll give you a scenario where you'd follow the chazanish. We had this scenario in Tel Shiva when the Bachurim would take cholmas for tonight. We will see that you cannot return all these, even with all these conditions, you want to return to something which is on the range top. Range top means the burners. You cannot return inside of an oven. Period. Because Zohar is not permitted to return. Once you take it out of an oven, you can put it on a burner, which is but you can't put it back into the oven. The Charlton tells her she was cooked in these large pots inside of an oven. Right? So now, so you want to take a cholent Friday night, what do you do? You take it out.
You can't put it back.
Can't put it back. So you can have a great cholent party Friday night, but then have no cholent for Shabbos day. Right? So one solution is to have a separate pot for the Friday night cholent. But you know, they weren't so avant-garde to do that. So there you rely on the chazanish to spoon it out while it's on the fire. Because it's fully cooked. So that's an example where you rely on that. Okay, anyway, so these two conditions are one, you have to, when you take it off, you intend to return it. And you, what time is class over?
45.
What?
45.
45. We'll also leave time for questions at the end. So maybe we'll just finish off this point. And you're still holding the item. These two things, the reason why they're there, it should be considered a continuation. They are drabanan. And you'll see in the Bidi Yavid situation, in case of necessity, meeting either four or five is enough. Great necessity, both can be overlooked. So defining great necessity, that's the Balabasta's decision. You know, she's going to have a nervous breakdown if she doesn't do this. Right? That's definitely a great necessity. Right? She's going to get tremendously overwhelmed. You need the food for your guests. You don't have another option, whatever it is. You forgot to put when you took it off, you forgot to intend to put it back, and you're not holding it anymore, and you realize this is the only food you have for your meal tomorrow, and you have 10 guests coming. That's a great necessity. Right? That would be right? You say, you know what? I would like to have this as an extra. I have three other courses to serve, and it's not the end of the world. If I don't serve this, it's an extra pot of cholent. You know, okay, that's not a necessity. Somewhere in the middle, you can figure it out. So that, I'm not getting involved in definitions. So those are the five conditions that a person has to meet. So now I'm going back to my Seder menu, which we're going to have to continue the Seder menu next week.
But is this only for a stove, or it also could be for an oven?
Some of these issues apply to the stovetop. Some of them apply. An oven could be a Kantuk Hazar, period. Right, so there's no way you're going to be putting something into the oven. You can leave things in the oven and then take them out. Right, so some of the rules of Shehiyah would apply. So if you look on your Seder menu chart, you'll notice if you can read that, if your eyesight is still good, and you can look on the left side. So we put the menu on top. We left the ice cream out because you don't cook the ice cream. Chicken soup, brisket, carrot simmers, ratatouille, potato kugel. And you have your heating options, which are the oven, the range top, with or without a blech, the hot plate, the crock pot, the top of the percolator, insulating from before Shabbos. So what would be permitted, what would not be permitted, that's what we're going to try and fill in this chart. But we're not going to do that in the time allotted. So we'll leave that for next week. So either your girls can hold on to this and pull it out again next Friday, or I should collect them. And this is you'll have them again next Friday. I have a strange feeling that probably we do better if I collect them back and give it out to you again next Friday than if you ask you to hold on to them. Okay, at this point in time, I will take questions on halacha in any area.
Wait, is an oven considered a covered flame? Why can't you return
an oven is not considered a covered flame.
So that's why you can't return something to it?
It's part of it. A little more complicated than that. Yes, Orly. Ladies, I have difficulty making sure that you hear what she's saying in your thoughts.
If you have a pot of cholent on this morning, it's fully cooked,
if you keep, like, I've heard that if you hold on to the lid of the cholent, you could scoop out the cholent and have some as, like, a Shabbos morning breakfast. Is that true?
What, still on the crock pot, you mean? Still on the fire?
Yeah, it's like, you have the lid, and then you kind of, like, tilt it upwards, and then you, like, scoop some out, and then you, like, close it. I don't know where I heard that from. It could just be a rumor.
Okay, I think it's an interesting rumor. Don't believe all rumors that you're here. Okay. I don't think so.
Wait, is this extra?
Yeah. No questions. No. Great. You've solved all of your problems on Shabbos. That's wonderful. I'm going to come to you next time with any of my questions.
No, we have more
Shabbos this morning. What can I do?
You can take it off. You can take it off and put it back.
I can take it off.
You take it fully cooked. Take it off, hold on to it, and put it back afterwards.
But do I have to wash the whole thing? Yeah. Wash it?
That's why you want to take some off. It shouldn't be so heavy. Whatever. Okay. Yeah.
But even if you would just like scrape like the top. Like while it's still in the crock pot.
Again, because he's holding the mutter. It's fully cooked. It's
like,
even from the fire.
Really it's stirring.
But
you just take off the top.
But in general, I think the mishpura is still would apply. My order. Is that who?
Yeah.
That's it. Okay, ladies, have a wonderful Shabbos.
Thank you.